Jonathan, hosting for Bagel Tech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone.
Live from the Bagel Tech Universe. It's the Bagel Tech Photo Show! Yes.
We're not overdoing the build-up at all there, are we? No.
Never. Never. On this week's show, we've got the regular three. They're back, and of course I'm back. I've lost my mind completely, but what the hey, hey, all right. In this corner, we've got... Well, you know him. He's been around. You might know him if you live in Chicago, Detroit, New Orleans. He's been everywhere.
Street Ars corners.
This is going nowhere. Chris Forsman. How are you, Chris?
Not bad today. The weather here sucks, but I'm doing all right.
I know the weather's sucking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It either rains here or it's 150 degrees. So, yeah, I kind of know the feeling. Good week.
Busy week.
It's like everybody's like, I had a busy week. So mm-hmm. I think we're all a little bit tired. Speaking of busy week is a busy few weeks. Who needs more weeks in 1 week? The G-man himself, Alex G. Fox. How are you, Alex?
I'm very good, Colin. How have you been?
I'm busy. I need the weeks too. Can I have some of your weeks? Because I need more weeks myself.
Well, when I've got a spare one, you can have it.
Great, great, great. Just put it up on eBay. I'll give you a good price for it. I'll do a buy it now.
There you go. Please. Selling your soul to the devil.
Whatever it takes to get through the weeks.
The amount of sins he's got, mate, you get a good price.
I want to learn to play the guitar, though.
Go down to the crossroads.
Exactly.
That's right. And creeping in there, Mr. Ewan Rankin, who I think has been slightly busy this week, have you?
I've done one day.
So you've been busy this week.
I tell you what, this is a tip for everyone, because traditionally I don't do a great deal of work in August anyway, but I always kind of manage to fulfill myself with something. There's something going off. This year I've done absolutely bugger all, and I have turned into an absolute colander when it comes to my brain. People ask me to do things. People ask me to say things. Leave. My head's a complete wash today, this week. I've forgotten everything this week. No idea.
Well, you get it back next week. Just look on eBay. I'm sure. Alex,
I need something to engage my brain.
Alex, you have something like that, don't you, Alex?
Yeah, but it comes in tablet form.
A brain engager.
£9.79, something like that. I think, right?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Okay. That and a free diuretic. Yeah.
Oh, those wacky Brits.
Oh yeah. And we have two of them with us. The week
double
in,
of pleasure, double the fun.
Double mint gum. Love double mint gum. Thank you very much for getting that damn commercial in my head, Chris. All right, take three. The week in photography, the week in camera porn as we know it. And I have to say the one that's got us... Ooh, is a Nikon One system, the V1, the J1, the number one Nikon. We got to go to Mr. Nikon man himself, Alex the G-Man Fox. What do you think of this little lovely little camera?
Well, what do I think of these lovely new cameras? I thought you might ask me. So I actually read up everything I could possibly find about these things. And if they are as good as they claim to be, then that's a major step forward in camera technology. Some of the, for professionals, I mean, to be honest, if they put that in their new D4, you would just, the only thing you'd have to do is point it in roughly the right direction and the camera could take care of everything else. What they've done with these cameras, most of what they've done is very, very sensible, and most of what they've done is what other manufacturers have all been hinting at. They've sort of put one of the nice gimmicks into their camera, or maybe two of the nice gimmicks, but they seem to have done them. They seem to be doing a Mac. They seem to have sat down, they've thought about this, they've let everyone else do their stuff, and they've come out and they've gone, right, here we go. This is the deal breaker. The only thing I'd say, I mean, I'll let everyone else say their stuff and then we maybe talk about what these cameras can do. The only thing I would say is, again, they've done a Mac and they've come in very pricey. When people find out what these things are capable of, I think they might fly off the shelves. But I think as an initial price, I think they may be waiting a little while, maybe even the second generation before people go for it. But what it will do is other people have really got to up themselves if they want to compete. And the only other thing, it makes people that say my iPhone camera is good enough, once they see one of those, I think they might not be saying that anymore. It's put a massive gap between compact cameras and phone cameras now. A massive
gap. What I was gonna say though. I mean, we're always talking about Nikon that's always making the step forwards. You know, I'll go over to Ewan because you've been on the fence for a while. Do I invest in a Nikon? Do I want to go through all the lenses? Do I want to do this? And most of you, I think, is ready to jump on board. But Alex mentions it's a Mac. So is it a Mac that's fully ready to go, or is it a Mac that's running Lion right now?
I think the thing that...
Sorry.
I think the thing that I want to start with on these things is I've always been very vocal about saying I don't get bridge cameras. I don't get the bridge format. This idea of taking out a camera body that's not a million miles away from a DSLR anyway, and then giving it interchangeable lenses, which are not a million miles away from most of the interchangeable lenses that are out there as well, and then expecting people to swap it and then say, but this is the leap between a compact and a DSLR. They've always been just missing, not the missing link. I get the format with this one. Forget price, forget specifications, forget functionality, just the sheer format of do you want to carry around a little tiny body that's got some interchangeable lenses? With this thing, I get the idea of this being a bridge camera because it's small, it's compact, yet it's got that functionality. The others haven't got compactness in their favour. This certainly has. So I'm on board for that reason alone.
Just one more thing about what you've just said. Remembering you can buy a converter so that you can use your full size DSLR lenses on this.
I hadn't known that. So even then, I mean, that's forget that then. So that's on top of everything else that we've just said.
Yeah.
Get down to the spec of the camera. It's 10 megapixels. Brilliant. It's not stupid. The form factor's nice. The way it works, the specification on the battery is supposed to be good. I've got to agree with Alex. I think they've overpriced it. Unfortunately, I know it's new technology, Chris, new mirrorless technology, and all that kind of stuff. But at 829 for the V1, it's too much, and the J1 at 549 is just a little bit on the wrong side of the scales.
I got to ask Chris on this because Chris is, you know, Mr. 12 megapixels. By God, is enough. Is 10 enough for these cameras, though?
Yes, I think 10 is fine. It's perfect, perfect. But I think this new CX format sensor is completely brain dead stupid.
Oh, okay.
Ridiculous.
Okay. Please elaborate, Chris.
It is.
And Nikon, just so you know,
monumentally idiotic. I mean, you're looking at a crop factor of 2.7. You're smaller than even 4/3. They've basically taken something that's just very slightly larger than some of the larger compact sensors. You know, now they've got this whole different lens system. The lenses they came out with, if they were only going to make the J1, great lenses, sure, it's great. Then they make this other camera that's, you know, almost as much as one of the mid-range, you know, full-size DSLRs they're already making. And they have no, you know, it's supposed to be geared towards advanced photographers, and they've got not a single advanced lens for the entire system. I just think it's stupid.
We're talking about prices, though. I mean, $650 for the J1, I think, and it's the V1 is the $900 one. I think these are retail, by the way.
Right.
It does seem a bit. I have to kind of agree with you that when you get into the technical aspects, I don't get it, but when you're talking about the actual what you get, what you can do, what you can expand on with it, particularly the $900 V1. That does seem a bit ridiculous. You had something.
I just see no advantage. I see no advantage. I mean, there are some of the Micro Four Thirds cameras are as small as these guys. So I don't see it.
Peek in there, Ewan. Peek in there.
No, I understand a bit what Chris is saying. I mean, in terms of the crop factoring, I presumably, and I've got to say I'm only presuming here, that the lenses that are specified for these have a counting, are accounting for the crop factor anyway, though. So what you see is what you get on the
real
end. It's only you're going to get the crop factor is going to become an issue if you start getting the adapter and you start going up to the existing Nikkor lenses.
Mm-hmm.
Is this real? I mean, of all of the four thirds interchangeable cameras that there are out there, I've not seen anything that's this kind of sleekness in the form factor, though. I mean, I'll stand corrected, Chris, but there's something about this that looks nice. It, like Alex says, there's a minimalist look to it. There's a Ferrari look to it as well with the red version. You know, there's something about
the pink one.
Yeah,
for the ladies.
There's something about this that leaps out though as being well thought out, well made. It looks good construction from the outside. It's not gimmicky. It looks like the quality product that it's purporting to be by the price. Whereas some of the four thirds stuff, it's toot on a stick. I mean, it's awful.
I would just say that my own experience is it was the opposite of that. I mean, I like the new EPM1 from Olympus, this mini pin that they make, is every bit as small and svelte and sleek as this Nikon.
Mm.
And you've got a whole range of lenses from Panasonic, Olympus.
Because it's four thirds, yeah.
And there's even other companies now making four thirds. I just feel like Nikon would have been, if they wanted to be in this market, and I'm not sure there's necessarily a need for them to be in this market, but if they wanted to, I think they could have done just as well designing a micro four third system. And then, you know, my feeling is that they went with this custom sensor design because then you can only buy Nikon lenses for your Nikon camera and vice versa. You can only use a Nikon camera with your Nikon lenses.
That is very Mac-ish.
Well, they're, but don't forget, they're not part of the four thirds and micro four thirds conglomerate, are they? So they'd be paying license fees to use that bayonet fitting anyway, though, if they tried to jump in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They'd be launching a $900 camera into a system that has a wide variety of very nice lenses to choose from.
Yeah, but that hardly anyone buys. So what they're doing is, who would be bringing the credibility to who there? Nikon would be bringing credibility to the micro four thirds and four thirds market, which they don't need to do because they're bigger than that.
But now they're trying to bring their credibility to a whole new format that. I just don't think it makes any sense.
Okay, I've kept quiet long enough. Right.
Well, I was going to go to you, Alex, because it's funny that Chris brings up the Olympus, the pin camera, the EPM1. That camera's retailing for about $500. Now, that's way, way far away from Nikon. Now, I'm going to go back to you and say, are we paying for the name here when it's coming to this product? Or what is the butter here? Where's my shrimp? Where's my lobster? What am I getting here?
Where your seafood platter is here. First of all, they are trying a Mac. I really believe this. They're trying to say, we are not the same. Everyone else, you can all use your Microsoft, you can all use your Dell, you can use your HP, you can do what you want, and good luck to you. But we're going to do something else, and we're going to be different, and that's going to be what's going to be important. And
who else at the moment in the market, Alex, has got brand name, build quality, low light performance, and image quality all in one single package?
No one, and this is my point.
So that's not like a bragging right. That is a fact as well.
Yeah, they've earned it. But my point here is, Chris quite rightly said, you're not going to be able to use any of these four third cameras that have been built for multiple people, you know, multiple companies. Well, it's the same as not being able to, you know, use the majority of software written for Windows. But what they've done, they've made it compatible with their own lenses. I can go and buy one of these on October, whenever it comes out, if I want,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I can use the lenses I already own. As a Nikon user, I have got stacks and stacks and stacks. I don't have to start. As a Nikon user, say 10% of the world's digital cameras are Nikon. So 10% of the world already have a lens that will sit on this camera if they want it to. They don't need the four-thirds frame. They don't need any of that. They are saying, We have made a system. We have built a camera that's small enough to stick in your pocket. It's small enough to not be bulky. The technical advances on this. I agree. What they've done is with the sensor is odd, but I think there's a technical reason for it. I think the reason being is to make the large lenses fit into this camera, they needed to make a lens which is a different size to any sensor a different size to anyone else has ever made. But the technical advances they've put into this camera they're phenomenal. The actual speed of this camera, the processing power in these two cameras is exceptional. To be able to do high quality HD filming and take stills at exactly the same time. How can you miss the perfect shot? Ewan, you go to your rugby match, you could practically video the rugby match and take the stills from that video. You can shoot the stills at the same time as you're videoing the thing. You will not miss a shot. It will shoot a maximum of 20 shots in one batch. It will give you the 5 sharpest, best exposed pictures for you to pick from. For a professional, I should hate it. For a professional, I could say, well, this is making all the difficult photography easy for everybody, and I should be really annoyed about this, but I'm really excited about the technological advance. If they can stick something like this into a D4 with that sort of processing speed, and you've got to remember, you can take whatever it is, I think it's 5 full frame, I'm so excited. My mind's gone numb.
So yeah, you'll be buying one.
Full resolution. You know what? I was looking at this and I was trying to convince myself there was a reason not to buy one. And I couldn't find one.
I could think of a reason not to buy one.
Yeah. My wife's not in.
Your wife? Yeah.
No, she's not in. Yeah. She'll never know. Another business expense she doesn't know about. That, or then in hotel rooms. But the thing is, I own countless lenses which will sit beautifully with this. I can go somewhere. I don't have to take a 5 grand camera when I go somewhere. I can take one of my lenses. I can take 2 of my lenses. I can take a 18-300 2.8 lens, or I don't know what it is, whatever I was using today. I can take that with me and I can have this little thing sitting in my pocket. Okay, the lens is a big lens, but I've got a really good lens. The lens is as good as any lens you can get hold of. And I'm not sticking it on a great big heavy camera body. And it will give me all those tricks. It will be able to, I can use my 3 grand lens as a video camera lens. How many other cameras can you do that with? As a Nikon user, it's a no-brainer. I just wish the price wasn't so much that I've got to put it through 2 months, 2 months account so she doesn't notice. It would be easier not to have to do that. But I'm seriously impressed. Every time I looked through that, I was thinking, how have they done that? How have they managed to fit that speed into it? The autofocus with the lenses that come with there. I've read the stats on it. They are incredible. You'll be able to basically follow someone round a rugby pitch. It will keep them in focus.
Dude, breathe.
I was going to say, you are excited beyond. You are like a kid on Christmas morning that has not found out about Santa yet. It is unbelievable.
Sorry, what about Santa?
Oh, yes. Santa.
My point is, even if you don't like Nikon, even if you're a Canon have got to do something. Canon have got to say, crap, we're going to have to come up with something special. This is going to up the game. This is going to make people that put pictures from their phones all over Facebook and all the rest of it thinking they're good. This is going to make them think, that blurry, horrible picture where nobody's in focus and the point of taking the picture has completely been lost. Well, maybe not this incarnation of it because it's too expensive, but this will filter down into other cameras. And then people will be pointing and shooting and they will get decent pictures.
Chris's turn, I think.
I hear you, Alex. Yeah, I was going to say, I hear you, Alex, but the thing is, I'm going to jump in here and say, it works if you're a Nikon user already. You're a Nikon user, I think it sounds fine. I don't know about the price, though, but it sounds like maybe it's a home run for you. But if you're not a Nikon user, then where does that put me, Chris? It sounds like I'm starting from scratch and I'm going to have to end up spending $20,000 here. I'm going to spend, $900 on the camera and then I'm going to go load my suitcase full of lenses in.
Well, now I'd back up for a second because, you know, I agree, it's really smart of Nikon to have made an F-mount adapter. But the problem you run into is this 2.7 crop factor is forget about using any of your wide-angle lenses. I mean, to get something close to a 28 millimeter.
You can use them, but they just won't be the same.
Yeah, but I feel like it's just, I mean, it's effectively pointless. You're looking at all your telephoto lenses are going to be awesome on it. That's going to be great. Slap on a telephoto and it'll be like a 600 millimeter lens, you know. But you're also talking about taking a lens which is effectively five times the size of the camera and slapping it on there too. I see that there is some convenience there, but then I feel like you're also losing the whole idea of going with a tiny sensor and to be able to make these small lenses is that this camera is so tiny.
Can I just say one thing?
I feel like what Nikon has really created is this little island of this new system.
Exactly, Matt.
Where if you use the lenses that are designed for it, it's great. But I feel like the lens selection, you know, is basically designed for you've got basically your standard wide angle zoom and your standard telephoto zoom. There's a fixed focal length 2.8 pancake lens, and then you've got this like nice mega zoom. It's sort of like your Tamron vacation lens, and that's it. And I feel like here's this camera that's designed for advanced photographers, and here's the lenses you get to use. I think it's dumb.
Go ahead, Chris. Sorry, I thought you were
going to. I wanted to address the technology issue because I don't think I don't think the technology is that amazing. You're talking about stuff that a lot of cameras are can do or are starting to do, and there's nothing special about the sensor size, and there's nothing special about 10 megapixels that suddenly enables all these capabilities. I mean, you're going to see. This is what all the other camera manufacturers are working towards as far as being able to shoot simultaneous stills and video and doing like significantly large streams of shots. I mean, there are Nikon SLRs and the point and shoots can already do this thing where it takes several snaps and then picks out, you know, one or two or several, you know, of the sharpest and saves that for you. That capability is already there. I don't think there's anything revolutionary or amazing about the technology.
That's sort of where I started. I said that what this camera is doing is taking the good bits, the high technology from all these different cameras and putting it into one place because no one else has managed to get all of it in one body. And just to make a point about, you're completely right that you haven't got a low-end lens. You know, you haven't got a close-up lens because of, you know, the magnification factor on this. Mm-hmm. It comes as standard with the kit. I can't remember what it was, a 10 to 30?
Right,
and that's
right.
What comes with it. So they've obviously thought that through and said, well, you're not going to be able to use your normal lenses at that range. That's what will come with it. We'll cover it. Now, I do agree that this isn't the panacea. This isn't the finished product. This isn't what we're all going to look at. But I do think, as again I said, this is going to make all these other manufacturers lift their game, not just work towards something. They've actually got to bring it out now.
Do you know what got excited this week?
What got you?
Do you really want to know?
Yeah, what got me excited this week? The Sigma 200 to 500 millimeter lens went on sale. It came from $38,000 and it dropped to $26,000 this week. That's all it's going to cost you for this baby.
Do they do a Nikon mount?
Yeah, they do a Nikon mount.
Yeah. Tax, mm-hmm.
I want to get that on the J1, right?
Well, the thing that got me was I went and looked at some of the comments on the on Amazon for it. And the comments on Amazon were brilliant.
It's like a rocket launcher.
I tried this. Well, it's funny you should say that. I tried this lens while shooting birds at Yosemite, but the park ranger called the SWAT team because they thought I had a rocket launcher. I bought this lens and was finally able to use it properly when I broke down my front door when I'd forgotten my keys. And I switched it into macro mode the other day while shooting, and I swear I saw the Higgs boson.
Now, I love the way it looks like it's the carrying strap to put over your shoulder.
The
camera is just superficial on the end.
But there you
go.
It's on sale, folks. You can buy this lens, the Sigma 200 to 500 millimeter f/2.8, for only $26,000 at the moment on Amazon in the States. There you
go. Oh, definitely worth it.
Here's some good news for Alex. If you put this on your J1, which I assume you're going to have the day it ships.
Yeah.
It'll be like,
can you imagine that?
It'll be like a 13,000 millimeter, 1300 millimeter F2.8 lens.
It would fit.
Yeah, I could do all my work without having to leave home.
Mm-hmm.
I could just point it in the right direction.
Yeah. No, move a little bit to the left, love. No, stand in the window.
Yeah, I'd have to do all the models by phone. Exactly.
Did you also see the picture that was, they reckon that they got a picture that proves that Nicolas Cage is Nosferatu. It's a Civil War picture, and they swear blind that this is Nicolas Cage and he's actually a vampire. There you go. And I thought
they want £1 million on eBay for it.
Who, what?
It was a price on eBay and it was £1 million.
Really?
$1 million.
It looks great.
I think it was one of them. Let's have a look at it.
Yeah, it looks absolutely fantastic. It's so like him. I burst out laughing when I saw it. I was that close.
You know what? I wouldn't buy it because it's got all that writing straight across the middle.
Yeah, exactly. Some bloody copyrights. We've lost Kyle. He's disappeared. I don't know where he's gone. So no. We'll carry on without him. Shall we do some questions?
Yeah.
Sure.
Good man.
Something we can't fight about.
No, exactly.
Oh, I love fighting.
We've got, in terms of the news, we've got Adobe Photoshop Elements 10 is out there, and Instagram 2.0 came out. But, I mean, we can have a chat about those next week. You know, it's not the end of the world. First question. Hi, guys. I kind of feel stupid asking this question because I know that they're in a digital format, but do digital photos degrade over time and above the decay of the media that they're stored on? And do they decay in quality every time I do a save as in Photoshop? Thanks. Mark in Albany, New York.
Who wants to answer?
Yeah.
I'll go for it if you want.
Start off, Chris.
Sure. There's no stupid questions, only stupid people.
Yeah.
Oh, that's me out there, isn't it?
No. No, it's a good question. Yeah. Digital photos don't degrade over time. As long as the bits, the ones and zeros, stay on the media they're recorded, the photo will be fine. When you start to lose the ones and zeros, the results of what happens are actually unpredictable. So you might not be able to open the file at all. You might be able to open the file, but parts of it look scrambled, or maybe all of it looks scrambled. That's hard to say. But as long as the file itself remains intact, and over time, if you're concerned about the media failing, you can always save it to a new, whatever the latest media is. You can always save it there. Now, the question you have about doing the save as is interesting. If you're using JPEG format, that is a lossy compression. So you do get generational loss every time you do a save as and save as a JPEG. There's more compression added, so if you started off in a JPEG out of your camera, you did some editing, saved as a high quality JPEG, you get a little bit, you take that file that's already been saved as another JPEG, open it, do some changes, save it again, on down the line, eventually you will lose some quality. But for the most part, you probably won't see a lot of it if you're, if you're looking at high resolution files and you're using the highest level of JPEG compression.
I mean, this is one of those things that, I keep going on about that there was a buggeration factor to use in RAW because of the fact, you have to post process it and everything. But when it comes down to it, if you're storing a RAW file in its RAW format on a media that's in good quality and is well kept, you're not going to decay at all really from that original.
Mm-hmm.
So well worth having.
Yeah, I mean, save it. Two things. One, I wonder if the new versions in Lion for Mac, I wonder if that's going to actually help with the save as, because if it's only saving the differences, perhaps it won't cause so much of a compression problem. But to be honest, I always, if I'm going to do a save as, I always work in TIFF. And if I want to send something out, then I make a smaller JPEG and then send it out from there. That's just right. The way I work. That's the way I've always worked. I have got from early, mainly DVDs that I've written, write once DVDs. I have lost, so we're going back about 10 years, I have lost quite a lot of stuff off of them. But I think that's mainly to do with early DVDs were not the quality of what we have today. Right. There's a lot of backups I did and I looked at them and there's just nothing there anymore. So luckily, I've always backed up onto hard drives and I've always kept spare hard drives. If you're really worried, make a good quality print of anything that you really want to make sure you never lose again and stick it in a drawer. That's the only way I can say that you're guaranteed. But, you know, there is something beautiful about the aging of a photograph. There's something really, really reassuring about that. You know, but, you know, if you take a picture of your kid and in 50 years' time when your child is 50, that picture still looks the same as the day you shot it, yeah, perhaps there's something slightly missing there.
Maybe. That's an interesting way of looking at it.
For those of you that are wondering where Carl's gone, he's had a power cut.
So. Oh, poor Carl. He's probably fallen asleep.
apparently, it was a scheduled power cut as well, which he didn't realise, so his wife's told him it was supposed to be there. Never mind.
Scheduled power cut?
Question two from Fred in Swindon. He says, I've got a Canon G10, and listening to the show last week, you guys mentioned that the G13 was coming out. Now, I love my G10, and I've used it a lot, but I wondered if now would be the time to think about upgrading and buying the G13. Fred?
Yeah, Fred.
I would say, Alex, are you the wrong person to ask that question of, really, I suppose?
Yeah, I would say don't buy the Canon G13. Save up and buy Nikon. No, I don't know anything about Canon. No, all I'd say is, if you feel that you're due for an upgrade of any camera, don't worry so much about resolution changes, but over the generations, I don't know how old a G10 is, but the actual quality of sensors...
4 or 5 years?
Okay, so in that time, the actual quality of sensors, the actual quality of the image, the sharpness and the colour reproduction and the less noise, whatever the right way of putting that, the chances are if you feel you're ready for an upgrade, if you like the camera and the way it works, the G13 is only going to be a better example of what you've already got. I don't know if it's significantly better to want to spend your money on, but even if the megapixelage hasn't changed, the actual speed and the quality of the sensor will have improved over that time.
The only thing I'll say is with it, Fred, is if you love your G10 and it takes nice pictures and you like keeping them and printing them out, why change? If it keeps great pictures, it takes great pictures. And the other thing, that there was a quantum leap between the G9 and the G10, because the G10 started doing much better quality video and it also did stop motion. Because I've got the G9 and I'd bought the G9 just before the G10. That's my ability to buy stuff just before it's upgraded. And the G10 does stop motion and that kind of stuff. And I don't think the G11 did do stop motion. I'm guessing off the top of my head there, I'd have a look up that on the net if I were you. But Chris, go on.
Well, I can say that the G11, they cranked the megapixels to like 14 or something ridiculous, and the low light shooting and the noise was just terrible on it. And so when the G12 came out, they actually went back to 10 megapixels. But they also had backside illumination. I don't know if they went to a larger sensor, but I know they're using a 1.7 inch sensor now in the G12. And I think that's what they've been using, but it's a larger sensor than most compacts. They went down in the megapixels, so they've increased the sensitivity of each pixel site. They use backside illumination, which also increases. So there's a pretty big leap between the 10, 11, and even 11 as far as low light capability and just kind of image quality overall in the G12. So I would consider, if you're feeling like you want something newer, the G12 is definitely a good thing. Now, the G13 hasn't been announced by Canon, but they have upgraded the S95 to the S100, and the S100, or I should say the S95 and the G12 share the same sensor and some similar internals. So there's a good chance that Canon's going to have a G13 somewhere down the line, you know, could be in the next couple months. So if you're happy with the G10 and you don't have any problems at all and you're thinking, you know, this is doing fine, and you could just hold on to it for a few months and see what the G13 is like, you know, at that point, then you can either decide on the G13 or maybe you can pick up a G12 for a clearance price.
I still use my G9.
Yeah.
I don't see the point of changing. Very good camera.
That's always a good bit of advice, actually. If you're happy not to have the latest, newest gadget, the moment that G13 is released, the G12 goes down, and it doesn't make the G12 any lesser camera than it was the day before at a higher price.
It's just upgrade fever.
Yeah, so maybe if the G13 comes out and you can save yourself $200 by buying the G12, seriously think about doing that.
Mm-hmm. I would. I'd be happy with a G12.
So would I, just to make you happy, Chris.
Oh.
Last question. It's from Alex. Hi, chaps. I love the show. Keep up the good work. Thanks very much, mate. We've got a couple of nice reviews as well in iTunes, so I must say, if you've put a nice review in, thank you very much. If you haven't, please review us in iTunes. It really boosts our rankings and ratings. It makes a world of difference. Chris, Alex, and Ewan are always talking about stops. I'm afraid I listen to the show more for entertainment and often forget to learn something, but I'd like to know what stops is. What a stop is, and if I have one on my Panasonic Lumix, please don't laugh at my ineptitude.
Sorry,
Alex. Yes. Too late, it was out.
I know, you wouldn't start me off.
Do I have a stop on my Panasonic Lumix? The answer is yes, Alex.
Yeah, take the battery
out. It's whether it's accessible as easily as anything else, but go ahead. Go on, Alex, you want to start us off?
Well, a stop is simply just a degree. It's a jump. It's an aperture size. It's... We've lost Chris.
He's
now.
Back. Carry on. Don't worry.
Okay. It's either an aperture size, the size of the hole in your camera, the increment between one size and another size is called a stop. You can also have a stop as in timing. They're just to do with increments, either up or down, of timing, of aperture. You could, in theory, use ISO as a form of stop. It's just... You know, it's just a great, it's just, if you like, it's scale. More, yeah, but it's more of like, if you think about it, steps on your stairs going up. Every step you make is a stop. And that's sort of the way I would explain it. Just going again.
And he's back.
I love that music. So, you know, that's how I would explain a stop. I'm sure somebody that... is more used to teaching photography could explain it in more easy terms.
But no, I mean, it's an incremental value, isn't it? So I mean, if you go up through your f-stops, your f-stops are going to go 1.8, 2.8, 3.5, 4.0, 4.5, 5.6, 6.3, 8. You know, those are all stops. So if you go up by one stop, you're going up to the next f-stop on your range. And likewise, if you look at the top of your camera, if you've got a digital SLR, you'll certainly have it, and a lot of the compacts have it. You have the ability to artificially change exposure, so you'll have a zero rating on there, which will be as the camera wishes to expose it. Well, you can deliberately go down one or two stops, and that will make it expose it as if it was shooting one stop below.
Sure, it's the exposure compensation. They normally do it in thirds, don't they?
Mm.
They normally do it in +3, +7, and 0, or -3, -3, and they go normally up to 3 and down to 3, don't they? Give you 3 stops either way.
Yeah, kind of.
But, you know, you can change stops by timing as well as by aperture.
Chris, anything to add on the stops question? Because I know you've missed half of it, but...
Oh, you stopped.
He's there. Now. He's not there.
Am I here?
Yeah, you're here.
Yeah.
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Perfect.
Is there anything to add on the stops question? We've kind of covered off a fair bit of it, but and you weren't here for it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I didn't catch any of the answer.
That's okay.
So I'm going to assume that you said it all has everything to do with exposure.
Yeah, well, yeah, we just basically said it's an incremental value in anything that you choose to call it, because I mean it's one of those corrupted terms, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it came from the term f-stops, but now we just use it to mean any change in exposure. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you've got 3 variables, haven't you? You've got the film speed, you've got the aperture size, and you've got the length of time that you allow the exposure from. So you can adjust any of those to adjust, if you like, the stop.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Last word goes to our sponsors, uk2.net. As I say this on every show, and we really are totally indebted to these guys. They pick up every ounce of bandwidth that we check out there, and since we've gone to video, we have absolutely hammered them with bandwidth. We're doing well. Thank you very much. When we hit number two in iTunes this week for technology and for tech news, and all of the shows at one point were in the top 20 for technology, which is nice. Thank you very much for everyone that's downloaded. Thanks for everyone who's left reviews and made comments. It makes a world of difference. But UK2 is the people that keep us alive. Please support them. Go to our website, go to bageltechnews.com, scroll down and you'll find the logo there for them and says Bagel Tech is powered by. Click on that, go through, buy whatever you want to buy. And then when you check out, type in Bagel Tech as your offer code. Now, Bagel Tech will get you 15% off your basket. If you've transferred in a domain, then you need to type in another offer code as well as, which is bagel DNS, and that'll get you a reduction in your DNS management charge. It'll wipe it out completely. Bagel Tech listeners don't have to pay that. So there's two codes for you, Bagel Tech and Bagel DNS. And also there's a competition. Under that logo, you'll find an opportunity to win a Nintendo DS, a year's free hosting, or a £25 iTunes card. All you've got to do is click on that, go through and give them your email address, which you're probably a customer anyway, and you're probably going to have to not worry about spamming or anything like that. You won't get any spam from it, don't worry. Answer a question about their VPS 400 server, which is dead easy. And once you've typed in 2 terabytes into the answer, oh dear, I've given it away. Click submit and you'll be entered into a draw. When the draw's made, you might win yourself a Nintendo 3DS, so it's well worth entering. UK2.net, we'd be lost without them. Please support. Please, please, please support. Where can we get a hold of you, Chris?
Well, I write for Ars Technica, so you can read my regular writing there on arstechnica.com. I also am a pretty regular on Twitter, at Foresmac, Foresmac. And I like to gripe a lot and swear and also answer questions people send me. So
good man.
Find me there.
Excellent news. You can get Kyle at Kyle Swagger on Twitter if you want to. Alex, where can we get you, mate?
You can get me on Twitter. I don't swear and I don't gripe. But I was going to write to Chris and ask him why he gripes and swears so much on Twitter. No, he's a lovely chap. Just having a tough time, I'm sure. You can get me at alex at twitterything.com or alexgfox at twitterything.com.
Excellent. All right, mate. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter or at Bagel Tech News, and you can get me at ewanrankin.co.uk for commercial photography work. If you want any, please book me. I haven't done any this month. We'll be back on Friday next week. No problem at all. Back to normal time, 1 o'clock, hopefully. The Mac show and the photo show have permanently switched around, so Mac is going to be at 3, photo will be at 1. Big show's next Thursday. We could change that yet, but who cares, eh?
Hold on a minute. I think you'll find that Mac is at 1 and photo's at 3, or I can't remember now.
No, I got it right. Oh, dear. Mac has permanently changed to 3 o'clock. We'll talk afterwards anyway. But we'll speak to you next week. Have a good week.